This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale. I must take a trip to California and leave my poor sweetheart alone. If he has a dog, he won't be lonesome, and the doggy will have a good home. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that dog is for sale.
How much is that dog there sitting in the window? You know, way back they actually did sell dogs in pet stores. They don't do that much anymore. Now you go to the Humane Society and you can find a wonderful animal. Cat, dog, hamster, ferret, snake, rat, mouse, canary. Maybe not as many of those as I mentioned, but you get the drift. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being here with us. It is Tuesday, February the 23rd already. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Nina Schaefer from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the innocent-sounding public option clause in the Democrats' federal health insurance proposal. So stay tuned for that, if you would. And Donald Trump is now railing about the Supreme Court decision not to stop the turnover of his taxes to a New York prosecutor. He's very upset. The court refused. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get some thoughts on it and some other thoughts from the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself a little later in the show, Andrew Ceraci. And the Dominion Voting Machine Company has sued the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. Did you know that? For over $1 billion. That's going to take a lot of pillows, Ed, if they win. The MyPillow guy's being sued over his documentary about voter fraud, and we're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, now yesterday, we decided to find top 10 miscues by Joe Biden, right? Well, the hits just keep coming. I went to the Time magazine. Believe it or not, the liberal Time magazine has a top 10 Joe Biden gaffes. So we're going to do it today. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys in the Tampa Bay area, make a beeline when you get a haircut to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is in Dunedin. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 727-733-3773. I hope you were listening to our program just before I got on, Good Morning Clearwater. They're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Had Tony with them today. Tony's such a nice guy. Paul and Tracy, I salute you guys with him. But Paul and Tracy Allen host the show, latest in news and entertainment and sports. I think they were doing some trivia today, weren't they, Ed? I was kind of listening in. I love those trivia questions, you know.
It's actually birthdays.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you ever watch any of the... I tend to think some of those game shows. Do you ever watch those game shows at night? I don't generally watch them, but my girlfriend watches them. And I get kind of stuck on what is that one? Oh, now I got to remember the name of it. This is my age coming along with it. Where they vote people off after every round. Anyway, I listen to it. It's kind of an interesting show. Has a lesbian host, and they vote every round. They vote somebody off, and then they pass the money on to the next round. That kind of a thing. Anyway, It's Good Morning Clearwater, and you got to listen to it if you don't. They're 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. All right. Well, the an Associated Press reporter, now they're usually a liberal group, are they not? The Associated Press. The State Department spokesman Ned Price to task yesterday. He suggested that Biden, the president, was responsible for a policy that had started under Donald Trump. Well, this is not the first time. Didn't Biden say that we didn't have a vaccine program in place until he got in? He said something stupid like that, didn't he? Well, anyway, this guy, Price, Ned Price, was highlighting a report sent to Congress that said some 18 entities have engaged in good faith efforts to scale back involvement in a pipeline project called Nord Stream 2. It's designed to transmit Russian natural gas to Germany. Now, that's not something we're excited about here in the United States, right? When you get the two words Russia and Germany together, it conjures up bad things for those of you old enough to remember World War II. Anyway, Kremlin critics say that this project doubles the amount of natural gas the Germans get from Russia. Well, at the press conference, Price seemed to suggest that it was the Biden administration which led to the development of Nord Stream 2. He said that Biden and Congress's strategy have been working to good effect. The Associated Press reporter piped in, saying that all of that work started under Trump. Quote, you guys have only been in the office for a month, right? Are you saying that in the last 4 weeks, 18 companies all of a sudden decided to say, oh my God, we better not do anything with Nord Stream 2? You guys are taking credit for the stuff the previous administration did. Yes or no? That sounds like a question that normally Donald Trump would get. You know, not the Biden people. So Price, noticeably flustered, said he was merely speaking on behalf of the State Department. I misspoke, I think. Nord Stream 2, or it's written wrong. The development of the battle against Nord Stream 2 is what the Biden administration was taking credit for when it started in the Trump administration. So there you go. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit later about Donald Trump's, he's upset. The Supreme Court basically decided not to stop the turnover of his tax records to a New York prosecutor. And Trump says it's a continuation of the great political witch hunt. Trump's tax records are not supposed to become public as part of the criminal investigation. But you know they'll be leaked. You know it. Once the New York prosecutor gets his meaty hands on those tax records, I'll guarantee you they'll be leaked within about 10 minutes, something like that. Anyway, the high court's action is basically they declined. They declined to listen. It's a blow to Trump because he has for so long fought on so many fronts to keep his tax records shielded from view. Remember, he always said that they were under audit, which was his reason for not really. He should have just said, you know what? My tax documents are none of your damn business. Mm-hmm. That's he should have said that because that's what he really was feeling, you know, about it.
Well, you know, I'm just getting tired. We keep hearing Biden say and the other one saying how we need to unite the country again or reunite the country again. Well, let it go.
Exactly.
It's like an ex-wife. You can't move on. You let it go.
I know. Yeah.
You know?
Well, they won't let it go because they want to somehow. People that dislike Trump have such a hate on him that look what they were doing, shutting down the ice rink in New York.
Yeah.
Now, how petty, how many people depended or loved to go out there and skate on that ice rink that Trump had basically built.
Employees that worked there.
Employees that worked there. what is going on? And then they changed their mind and decided to allow it to stay rather than shutting it down. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
The pressure on that one? But how petty can you be with your dislike? I guess in New York in particular, he's got a lot of enemies in New York, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like these useless impeachments, it costs money. You know, it's not
millions free.
Yeah.
What do they care? As far as millions go, millions to them is 10 cents to you and me. They don't care. It's not their money. You know, eventually, as Margaret Thatcher once said, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
Mm.
We're not listening to that particular thing right now. We may later in.
You know, there's a joke on the internet that there's two gold pens for sale.
Oh?
Yeah.
But
impeachment pens, but they don't work.
I like it. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Nina Schaefer of the Heritage Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for listening to us. Delighted to have Nina Schaefer join us. She is a senior research fellow for domestic and health policies at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with Nina about the health care proposal that's the Democrats are unveiling. It includes a public option. Now, a public option sounds like a good deal. It's like you got a choice. But Nina, you say beware of it. It's a government-run care on the installment plan, do you not?
That's right. I mean, I think that many liberals realize that their so-called Medicare for All, which would eliminate private health insurance for all Americans and put them on a government plan, kind of was a non-starter with the American people the more they heard about it. So now they've decided, well, we'll just find a way to insert the government more in our health care by doing it on the installment plan. And that's really where the public option comes in. And you're absolutely right. It always sounds good on a bumper sticker, but the more we understand what's actually in the proposal, many of the same features that'll get us to a single-payer healthcare system where government will control the access to our healthcare, what doctors we can see, what kind of care we can get, is all wrapped up in those proposals.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Joe Biden was running to win the nomination in the Democratic primary, he would stand out by himself as the only one that said, well, you know, We'll allow the citizens to have their own plans, but we'll just offer a public option here on the side. And it made him seem kind of like a moderate. But the truth is, the whole concept of healthcare, which is an industry, should not be run in any way, shape, or form, in our opinion, by the federal government. This is not, I mean, it kind of goes back to the basic understanding of an industry. This is not some right. that should be given for free to people. We are now thinking that it is, though. I mean, the Democrats have won on that philosophical point, have they not?
Well, certainly they're trying to. I think that what the public option, why it's so dangerous, is because it kind of purports to offer choice. But really what it does is it inserts a government plan into the healthcare system. But they control all the rules. So what do? It's intended to squeeze out the private competition. They're going to make their plan look like it's the least expensive by paying providers really low reimbursement rates, but at the same time telling the providers, you have to participate in our plan. And then what happens is when they look like they're paying less, that the plans are less expensive, it drives the private insurers out of the healthcare system. And then guess what happens?
It all goes up.
Americans don't have another choice. Yes, then they're left with just the government plan. And that's really why this is on the installment plan and why it's very difficult. I think if we've learned anything about COVID during this entire crisis, is certainly having government control every aspect of this is not the way to go. We realize that states really need to have the flexibility to adapt to the circumstances happening in their own states. It changes by the day.
Yeah, you're right.
Healthcare changes, and we need to make sure that we're actually advancing a system and a healthcare proposal that actually empowers the states to adapt to what's happening on the ground.
Yeah.
Heritage has been working for a long time with a group of like-minded people to kind of come up with that framework. It's called the Healthcare Choices Plan, and that's exactly what it does. We don't want more federal control. We want individual control, and the only way to do it is to get it closer to the individuals and the patients.
And I know Heritage's track record. They are not against the states running health care. I remember, as a matter of fact, when Romney was the governor of Massachusetts, I think Heritage supported his plan there, if I'm not mistaken. You may correct me on my history lesson there. But now, I mean, here on our show, we're even more fundamental about it. We don't think the government's involvement in health care does anything good, whether it be at the federal level or at the state level, but certainly not at the federal level. And you know what's interesting? The government actually works on antitrust issues. They will find what they consider to be something that's turning into a monopoly and then break up the company, right? They'll break it up in the with the concept that this will be good for citizens if we break up this huge money-making monopoly. And yet, are they not creating a monopoly public option? I mean, they're doing the exact opposite. They're getting into the free market, and they're taking it over and creating a monopoly rather than leaving the choices out there.
It certainly will, and it creates that the government will probably contract with one insurer, and it'll have the facade of looking like it's private insurance because people think they have a private insurance card, but the real driver behind it will be the government. And that's what folks need to be worried about. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's not that it should happen at the federal level. It's not that it should happen at the state level. It needs to be at the individual level. We need to make sure that we are transferring the power and control of the dollars back to the individual, not just to supplant one piece of government with another piece of government programming. So whatever we do, we need to make sure individuals have the last say in where they get their health care. They're not locked into a government plan. If there's one that if there are plans that they want to have, we need to create a more open free market so that individuals can choose where they get their health care, not have the government dictate it to them.
We're talking with Nina Schaefer. She is a senior research fellow for domestic and health policies at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about, the Democrats are trying like crazy to slowly take control. We know this. Slowly take control of our health care industry. They are trying to set the rules, have all the insurance companies run it, they want to lord it over all the insurance companies. Look at the cost, Nina, of health insurance now. If we went back 20 years, basically people could afford to pay for their health insurance. Now we can't.
Well, you don't even have to look back 20 years. You can just look back to before the Affordable Care Act came onto the scene. Before Obamacare came, people could have affordable options. They had a lot of options. Today, we see the opposite happening. We see premiums going up. And instead of addressing the underlying reasons for the increases of premiums, which is actually more government dictates, more government regulation, more government mandates, what many on the left are doing, and we're seeing it even in this COVID relief package, they're saying, well, we don't need to worry about what the root cause is. We'll just paper over those increases with more federal taxpayer money. And this is not a solution, and it's certainly not a financially sustainable solution moving forward. We need to get at the root causes, and that means rolling back the federal mandates that are in Obamacare and really create a much more open and deregulated market so that individuals in plans and insurance companies and doctors can actually innovate and design packages that individuals want to be purchasing rather than having a one-size-fits-all plan, which is what the government has.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when everybody wanted to come to the United States to get their treatment, even from Canada, north of us. But we had the best doctors, we had the best hospitals, and the reason we did is because it was a free market. And we had people that, if they were good doctors, would make more money than those that were mediocre. I mean, it was just like any other business. So we had the best. We were number one. Not anymore. It's like any other industry where the government gets more and more involved in it. It mediocritizes the product. When are we going to not learn that? It's a basic concept of economics.
What I think one of the other challenges is when you have a government-run healthcare system, only you create really a two-tiered system. There are the people that obey how the system operates and work through the system, and then there are those who have means or political influence or other ways of being able to get around it to get the healthcare that they want. That's what we saw in all these other countries, people coming to the U.S. It was the people who had the means to fly to the U.S. and pay for private coverage that their government wouldn't offer them. We have to be very careful that we don't slip into that system as well. We want equality in this healthcare system, but we want everyone to be able to have access to healthcare, not just those that can afford to get it.
Indeed, indeed. So where is this legislation going? We've got Democratic majorities, well, technically in the Senate with the vice president as a tiebreaker, certainly in the House. Are we going to get this public option passed under the Biden administration in this or in the next couple of years? What's going on there?
Well, I think, like everything, it's in the incremental stages. I do think the COVID relief package, as I mentioned, has a lot of spending and building on Obamacare, adding more money, expanding access to subsidies, and spilling more money into the Obamacare framework rather than addressing the issues. So that's their first incremental step. Once that's taken care of, they will likely move into the next phase, which will be likely a public option. I don't know when. They seem to have a lot of grand ideas that they want to take care of in a short amount of time. And so I'm not sure where it will tee up at what time, but I do think it's something folks need to keep an eye out on. And we've got to watch out for how this is going to continually, bit by bit, not in one big swoop. They learned their lesson on Medicare for All. People are not willing to take an overhaul of the entire healthcare system in one swoop. But these cuts by, you know, bleeding by a thousand cuts, or however the phrase goes, that's what we need to worry about.
Well said. I'm glad that there is the Heritage Foundation out there and people like you, you know, that can make us at least pause and try to understand where the heck we are going. But it seems like this is an inevitable socialistic march into this industry. I'm very depressed about that. I don't think we're educated enough about the consequences of inserting socialism into anything that we do. I'm very, very worried about that. But I'm glad people like you are around, Nina. Thank you so very much for being with us. Look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Nina Schaefer, our pleasure to have her with us. My goodness, you know, this is a topic that healthcare, this thing really scares me with Biden and crew. Anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to have the master barber himself. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's taxes, whether or not the New York Attorney General is finally going to catch Trump with his tax records.
He wasn't looking for a pretty face. She
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And here we go. Donald Trump, he leaves office and he's down in Florida, but they want to keep persecuting him. And he says, Trump says, it never ends. So now for more than 2 years, New York City has been looking at almost every transaction I've ever done, including seeking tax returns, which were done by among the biggest and most prestigious law and accounting firms in the U.S. And he said that the Supreme Court, quote, should never have let this fishing expedition happen, but they did. So, Master Barber, they just won't let it go with Trump. Do you think he'll ever get his tax records? Do you think his tax records will ultimately be released to the public one way or the other?
Well, they shouldn't, Paul. And you know what? I'm really surprised at the Supreme Court, especially Brett Kavanaugh. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
How could they even let this happen? Let me tell you something. I now believe that the scene you saw with Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett was an act.
Really?
Let these be... Oh, yeah. Paul, come on. Kavanaugh, what has he voted conservative one time so far and the different things that have come up to him?
Are you talking about
I think it was all a setup, Paul.
You do,
I believe it was a setup. Definitely. The deep state is deeper than we think.
Yeah.
As far as Trump's taxes go, they're trying to do everything to get rid of him because he's the biggest threat in the world to them. He's got 80 million followers, Paul.
He does.
He's not only a threat to the Democrats, he's a threat to the Republicans.
I think you make a good point. By the way, speaking about a totalitarian state, last night, do you know who, you remember a woman by the name of Naomi Wolf? She was in the Bill Clinton administration. She was on...
Kind of.
She says that America's becoming, quote, a totalitarian state before our eyes, unquote, under Biden's leadership. Now, she's a feminist author, and she said on Tucker Carlson that the U.S. is swiftly, quote, moving into a coup situation, a police state, as a result of Biden's ongoing coronavirus-related economic shutdowns. She says the orders are improperly extended under the guise of a real medical pandemic. I know you would agree with what she's saying.
First of all, I do. The only thing I don't agree with her with is she calls it his leadership. I call it his losership.
Okay. Right.
Okay, his losership. Come on. Did you see what his economic bill is doing for small businesses, Paul?
I tell you what, they're hurting small businesses. They want to raise the minimum
wage.
Well,
not only hurting it, did you hear what he said he wants to do with the $3 billion he's setting aside for small businesses?
Tell us.
It's strictly for minorities, blacks, Asians, and women. Again, Now the white man is out of this. What is the deal?
This is a racial division kind of thing. You know that. The Democrats thrive on division.
It's disgusting,
they
Paul.
Thrive on division.
It's disgusting, Paul. Where do they think this is getting them?
Apparently,
can you answer that? Where do they think it's getting them?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it gets them anything, but they think that they're appealing to their base. Remember that their base is always upset with free markets. Got to remember that. They're always upset with free markets because they feel that somehow free markets are going to impinge on certain groups, no matter how you do it.
Well, Paul, you know, not for nothing. Right here, maybe in front of my eyes, I'm seeing a war on whiteness, Paul, which I think is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
You got Coca-Cola at this point sending their employees to learn how to be less white. You have McDonald's saying they're going to hire less white people. Well, what is this, Paul?
I know. But it's racial division. The white guy is the bad guy. If you're a white male, you are in the worst possible situation. You're even worse than a white female. At least she's got the female gene. And that's okay if you're a Democrat. But
go
ahead.
This is sickening, and they're leading right into a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And not only are they leading into that, they're leading into what I was telling you about another party. Like I said, Trump is a threat to the Democrats and the Republicans. And you know what? If this party happens, which I pray to God that it does, you're going to see the fall of the Republican Party, and the Democrat Party is going to be peanuts.
I think we're in and I would agree with you on this, I think we're in a very fragile situation right now. In fact, I think this whole push on socialistic approaches and divisive approaches has gotten into a high gear with the Biden.
Yeah, you know, Paul.
With the Biden.
You know what I'd like
entry.
To see happen, Paul?
What?
You know what I'd like to see happen? I'd like to see 80 million Americans not file an income tax.
Wow.
What do you think would happen, Paul?
Yeah. They couldn't do anything if that many people decided not to file an income tax. What would they do? How are they going to incarcerate 80 million people? They can't.
That would be the best way to bring this administration down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talk about it yet.
That would slow things down in Washington. If everybody said,
yes, would.
If 80 million people said, you know what, I'm not sending my tax money in. It would do all kinds of trouble there.
I think that would be the best thing that could happen right now, Paul.
Yeah, but that's not going to.
They would send a message they wouldn't believe.
But most people are good Americans. They want to pay their fair share of taxes.
Paying fair share is one thing.
I know.
Paying fair share is one thing. Getting robbed is another.
I agree.
Getting robbed to support illegal immigrants, okay, paying student loans. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous, Paul, and it's going to be the fall of this administration or the fall of the country, one of the two, but I don't think it's going to be the country.
We're talking with the master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci, and he is proprietor of the Barber Poll, Mainstream America's feelings about what is going on in this country.
I want to know what is so reasonable about anything he's doing, because I want to hear the voice of reason tell me what's reasonable about what he is doing. How can anybody back up what is going on?
Are you talking about the show on Thursdays from 10 to 11 a.m.?
Voice of reason. Yes. I want to hear what reason they got with what's going on. And I definitely will be listening to the reason Thursday in my shop on full blast and get the response from the people that are in here.
Last night, Joe Biden made a speech to America based on the 500,000th U.S. death, supposedly, from the pandemic.
They were dressed like the Grim Reapers in front of the White House.
Indeed.
Did you see the picture of them?
I did.
They looked like the Grim Reapers, my friend.
I watched it. You know, the one thing, and I've got to give him some credit, he does know what the pain is of losing somebody close to him. He lost a daughter, he lost his first wife, and of course, he lost Bo Biden, his son.
Part of living is dying.
Absolutely, but the tragic circumstances.
You know, I mean, we all lose them. I lost my mother. Let me tell you, I lost my dog December the 23rd. I cried for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
I know what you mean. Believe me, I know what
you mean.
I mean,
enough is enough. They're playing on this and playing on this.
No. My point is that he gets up there and he... I'm just thinking when he's talking about, you know, he's kind of more in a mourn. He looked kind of like a funeral director, if you want to know the truth, standing up there like he did.
That's what I'm saying. He was like the Grim Reaper.
He was the Grim Reaper. I haven't heard, other than wear your mask, I thought he was going to come in with this great plan on getting us all back to work and getting rid of the virus. What has he done?
Well, Paul, if he was standing outside with that, they would have needed a teleprompter the size of a drive-in theater screen for him to be able to read off of it.
You're right.
Because if he ain't reading it, he's not saying it.
No, he's not.
Yeah, if you look at him,
he can only concentrate
watch his
on
eyes.
One thing.
His eyes are. Go ahead.
Yeah, he looks straight ahead. Now, normal, and he'll move his hands a little bit, but he will not look. When you speak, you look side to side, and you kind of get your message out. But he looks dead straight ahead, and he's one long sentence. Right into the next one.
Also, I don't know what it is, but there's no question. He's not, I know we're being picayune-ish, okay? And yes, we happen to be more conservative, but he's not forming his words when he speaks. He's kind of stumbling and mumbling a little bit. You think he's medicated. Is he medicated, Andrew? And what? And by the way, what medication does he take?
If he's not, he should be. One of the two. If he's not, he should be, my friend.
You're right. So, we keep talking about in 2 years from now, and maybe people, getting a little more, quote, religion into them, understanding where we're going with socialism and this whole concept of our country, just not realizing that the American rug is being pulled out from under us, Andrew.
Well, I know it, and you know it, but how do you explain it to these stupid people out there?
I know. That's what scares me.
I've tried to explain it to them, but they're like a horse with blinders on, Paul.
Yeah.
And when they'll start seeing it, Paul, it all comes down to the pocket. At the end of it all, it comes down to the pocket. You got to realize that. When they pull up to that gas pump in July and paying $4 a gallon for gas, they're going to say, well, I didn't vote for this.
Yeah.
That's number one. When the food goes up because of the price of the fuel and transporting it,
right?
Why is everything going up?
That's
how come
true.
I'm not taking home as much money as I used to? That's what it's going to hit him,
I
Paul,
think you're
in
right.
the pocket.
It is. Economics
and
are always the biggest driver.
My voice with reason is it will hit him in the pocket, and that's when they will wake up.
Yeah.
Because money talks and bullcrap walks.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's one of the reasons that they're recalling the governor of California. Look at the price of gas there now. The price of gas is over $4 out there, Andrew. You know that, right? They spent over
$4
a gallon. Isn't
it amazing that all of a sudden, when they did the election, they didn't have to verify signatures or anything else. Now, all of a sudden, they got over 1.5 million signatures to get rid of Newsom. He wants the signatures all verified.
I know. And they're going to be able to do mail-in recall. I like that. That's backfiring on them, Hey, by the way, I'm going to talk. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say a little later in the show, after the break, I'm going to talk about your buddy Mike Lindell. He's being sued by the Dominion Voting Machine Company.
Oh, yeah.
For billions. Go ahead.
That's good, Paul. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because all the facts he's got are going to be brought up.
Well, that's what Lindell is saying. He says, bring it on.
Says,
I can't wait.
On.
I can't wait. Now I'll have
bring
my chance.
On.
Now I will have my chance. Now I will have my chance in a court to talk about this. He seems excited
right.
about it.
That's right. I don't blame him. Now, because of that, I hope he comes out with my bed. Instead of my pillow top, because I'm going to go buy my bed next.
Then he's going to come out with my bedrooms. He's going to create a complete bedroom.
Four Americans had the guts that man has, and the story he has behind his life, everybody with this country would be great.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at how they're coming down on Ron DeSantis now. It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. They're afraid of Ron, aren't they? Oh, did you see that moron, Charlie Crist? He wants the Department of Justice to investigate Ron because it happened at some COVID shots, a certain amount of them got to a wealthy neighborhood. Well, aren't wealthy people allowed to have them too?
His whole intent was to get health care workers and the elderly taken care of. And now they're trying to figure out, you're going to go after a wealthy elderly and maybe the Jewish elderly. What are you talking about? My God, no, of course
I think
not.
Charlie Crist
people see through
ought
that.
To come out with his own line of flip-flops, and just call him Flip-Flop Charlies. The guy would make a fortune.
You
wouldn't have to hear from him anymore.
The Charlies.
Charlie's Flip-Flops.
The Charlie's Flip-Flops. I like it. I get a pair of Charlies. I want to go down to the store.
They'd be a hit.
I got to go to the beach. I'm going to go get some Charlies.
And then look at Christman and Nikki Fried. Oh, we're not going to fly the flag at half-mast. You know what? Ron DeSantis is their boss, isn't he?
Okay, you're talking
about the flag being half-mast.
You're talking about the mayor of St. Petersburg, just so people know. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Rick Kreisman and Nikki Fried there.
Yeah, okay. And what are they doing?
They won't allow any office that they have to deal with to fly the flag at half-mast. They don't have to listen to the governor.
And the reason the governor wants to fly the flag at half-mast is for the Rush Limbaugh death, or what was it for?
Right. It was for the Rush Limbaugh death.
Because Rush Limbaugh lived in Florida, Ron DeSantis thought it would be a nice gesture for a half-staff American flag flying in the state. And yet, there's all these people that won't do it. It is a bit of a political thing. He was a political person, but he was also a citizen of the state of Florida, very well known. And I agree with you. He should be flown at half mast.
Didn't they want the flag flown at half mast for George Floyd? If I'm not being corrected.
Yes, I think they did. Yeah. No, there's no question that.
A murderer and a rapist, that's okay. We'll fly the flag at half-mast. But a patriot, you know what? I've listened to Rush. He never said anything racist, did he?
No. First of all, he was not a racist, just like Trump was not a racist. But you see, Andrew, you got to paint somebody as a bad person, no matter if they are or if they are not. When you cannot fault their policies, you have to fault the person themselves. It's shooting the messenger. You know that.
Well, then all these Democrats, I mean, how come they're not being shot down with all the policies they're doing? Look at Aunt Pelosi.
Of course. I mean, whatever Nancy Pelosi does, they don't, this COVID relief bill, this is another thing. $1.9 trillion bill, right? Did you look at what is in that thing?
I looked at it.
Well,
none
of the people that are voting on it looked at it. They're not looking at it. They're just going to vote on it. They don't even know what's in it. It's the same thing when Pelosi said, we got to pass the bill before finding out what is in it.
Pelosi is getting, I forgot how many millions of dollars for the transit authority in her district.
I'm sure she is.
It's all a bunch of pork, Paul.
Yeah, of course it is.
And it's money that's spending that shouldn't even be spent. You want to take care of the people in this country, that's one thing.
And then we drop it on the dumb public. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Billions of dollars to South America, billions of dollars to people in Europe. Come on.
I know. No, I.
But yet,
do you think
but yet the white man with a small business can't get a dime.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Maybe it is disgusting. There's no question about it. And, Andrew, we have run out of time, my friend. I could talk forever on this. We're going to be talking with you, however, again on Friday, and I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Paul, be good.
Yes, sir, you too. The Master Barber. All right, take our break, and when we come back, among other things, Time Magazine's Top 10 Joe Biden Gaffes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
Hey, we are back after a quick break. And as we mentioned, one of the largest makers of voting machines in the U.S. yesterday sued the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, alleging that he had defamed Dominion with false accusations that it had rigged the election for Biden. Now, they sued him for more than $1.3 billion in damages. That's more money than Big Ed has. That's a lot of money. I think that, I'm not sure Mike could pay that, Ed. He'd have to sell a lot more pillows, I would suspect. Anyway, in its complaint, the company cites a number of statements Lindell made, including in his media appearances and a two-hour documentary claiming to prove widespread election fraud. I watched that thing. They had a Dominion woman on there claiming that there was indeed a fix going on. So this will be interesting if that woman will show up and talk in court about this.
Shouldn't Dominion sue the woman?
She doesn't have any money.
Well,
Mike Lindell has money.
He didn't say it, though. I mean,
well, he does say that the fix was in on the documentary. You know that.
If he said the fix was in, according to this woman,
Well, true. I mean, what he does on the documentary is to show point by point why he believes there was election fraud. So that's the whole point of it. So. The complaint alleges Lindell made false claims about the integrity of the voting machines and that he knew no credible evidence supported his claims. Here's what Lindell said. He was, quote, very, very happy to learn of the lawsuit. And he says, I have all the evidence on them. Now this will get disclosed faster. All the machine fraud and the attack on our country. Just getting into the weeds a little bit. Dominion accuses Lindell of saying and falsely saying that algorithms in the voting machines had stolen votes from Trump. It said he had undertaken a marketing campaign for the pillow company based on his support of Trump and the former president's claims that the election had been stolen. Dominion says the allegations by Lindell have irreparably damaged its reputation. Blah, 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 and prompted death threats and harassment. The company says it supplies election equipment to more than 40% of U.S. voters. By the way, it's not the only person that Dominion is suing. They are also suing Rudy Giuliani, Trump's personal attorney. You know that.
Yeah.
And also, remember the attorney, the woman, Sidney Powell? They're suing her, too. So there you go. Now, I wonder, it'll be interesting. If you watch the documentary and he brings on that woman from Dominion and he brings on some other people. He brought on a lot of people. And they would go back and they would put on the screen all of this evidence that they claim, you know. So, of course, you're only as good as what you're seeing on the screen as far as the evidence, but I thought it looked very compelling. So we'll see where all of that goes. Okay. All right, Ed. Now, I don't normally do two top tens that are similar, but I'm doing it this day. Yesterday, we did a top 10 from the New York Post, miscues by Joe Biden, did we not? Now, today, we're going to do Time Magazine, which is not quite as conservative as the New York Post, but these are the top 10 Joe Biden gaffes according to Time Magazine. Let me see, which way should I go on this? I guess I'll go, all right, let's go to this one first. All right, number 10. Ed wasn't sure when to roll the drums. Number 10, August 1987, quote, I started thinking as I was coming over here, why is it that Joe Biden is the first in the family ever to go to a university? Now, that's Joe Biden during his first presidential run, lifting passages and even gestures from a speech by Neil Kinnock without giving credit to the leader of the British Labour Party. His problems continued when footage surfaced showing Biden inflating his academic record at a law school. All right, number 9. June 2006, he says, in Delaware, the largest growth of population is Indian American, moving from India.
The largest growth of population is Indian American moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. And I'm not joking. Number 8. January 2007. I mean, you got the first mainstream African American who was articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. All right. Number 7. September 2008. I'm told Chuck Graham, state senator, is here. Stand up, Chuck. Let him see you. Oh, God love you. What am I talking about? Chuck Graham was a military vet that was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, no.
You remember that? Yeah. You didn't know about that, did you?
No.
Poor guy. He tried. However, I understand he did try to stand up, but he couldn't do it. All right. Number 6. September 2008. Quote, Hillary Clinton is as qualified or more qualified than I am to be vice president.
Oops.
Let's get that straight. She's a truly close personal friend. She's qualified to be president of the United States of America. She's easily qualified to be vice president of the United States of America. I wanted to mimic how he talked. Is that okay? Quite frankly, it might have been a better pick than me.
Okay, first off, you're a little too excited to be Joe Biden.
Number 5.
Remember drugs.
This is in October 2008. Quote, remember, I said it standing here. If you don't remember anything else I said, watch. We're going to have an international crisis, a generated crisis to test the mettle of this guy. That was Biden telling donors at a private fundraiser in Seattle that Barack Obama will likely be tested by an international crisis during his first few months in office. Do you remember one? I don't think so. Okay. Number 4. Quote, am I doing this again? My memory is not as good as Justice Roberts. Now, that came... he was alluding to Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, who flubbed a line during Barack Obama's presidential oath the previous day before swearing in members of his senior staff. So he was flubbing his own line to give to other people. And Obama apparently was standing there shaking his head. All right. Number 3. If we do everything right, if we do it with absolute certainty, there's still a 30% chance we're going to get it wrong. Now, tell me what the hell that means, okay? That was him speaking to members of the House Democratic Caucus who were gathered in Williamsburg, Virginia, and then began drinking heavily. All right, number 2. April 2009, quote, I would tell members of my family, and I have, I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places right now. It's not that it's going to Mexico. It's that you're in a confined aircraft. When one person sneezes, it goes everywhere through the aircraft. That's me. Okay, that's Biden. When asked on the Today Show, what'd he tell his relatives if they wanted to fly to Mexico? The next week. He said, if people feel unduly alarmed for whatever reason, we would certainly apologize for that. Okay. Well, anyway, made no sense. And finally, number 1. During a White House St. Pat's Day celebration, he briefly mourned the death of the Irish Prime Minister's mother, even though she was very much alive and standing next to him. And you remember that? It had been done immediately following his introduction of Obama during the health care bill's signing. So he turned to the commander-in-chief and uttered the following, barely off microphone, this is a big effing deal.
Yeah,
that was another thing. Okay, there you go.
Hey, get hot. I got hairy legs.
Oh, we could go on. Anyway, we were just having fun. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. And please remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.